back, guys, to another episode of Aggie Bowl. And today we're going to be talking about car stories. And these are awesome, right? Because everybody loves talking about them. They're hilarious and they're unexpected. And when they do happen to us, it sucks at first. You want to slap yourself in the face with a fish. But then after, they're just funny stories that you can talk about, right? And so what I thought we would do today is I would share a personal story that I have as a kid. And then after that, we'd hop over and talk with my good friend Elise, and she would share a story with us. And then also after that, we'd have my grandpa share a story with us. So without further ado, I will share my story, and then we'll hop over and talk with those guys. So my story starts out about 6 years ago. And at this point in time, my family and I are living out in Centerville, Utah, kind of by Salt Lake, for those of you that don't know where Centerville is. And behind our house in Centerville is this really cool recreational area where people can go hiking, fishing, you name it, all the outdoor stuff, like ATVing and stuff. And so there's this trail that goes up to this spot, but then also it passes that recreational spot and goes up to the summit of this mountain. And so my mom wants to go up to the top of this to go see the sunset at night. And it's a Sunday, and so we can't really do anything else besides, you know, go on this car ride. And so for me, I hated these car rides because it meant that I was stuck in the middle because I have two older brothers and I have my mom and my stepdad sitting in the front. So guess who sits in the middle? This guy, right? And my brother Matt would freaking spread his legs as far as possible, like as far as the universe can expand. And so I feel like I'm in that Star Wars scene where Leia and Luke and I think Chewbacca and stuff all get thrown in this trash compactor and it just, like, the walls start closing in on him. My brother's legs start closing in on me. And he knows he does it, but he just doesn't. Well, I'm younger, so I can't say anything about it. We're heading up this trail, and it's starting to get closer to the sunset time. And so we're heading up, and we're going up this trail, and we're all fighting. And my stepdad finally just tells us to shut up because he just wants some peace and quiet. And so does my mom. And so I kind of felt like the kid in Christmas Story where he's like, shut up, Ralphie. And so we all just shut up because we're all scared of my stepdad. And so they finally have a peaceful drive about halfway up because Mike tells us to shut up and be quiet. And so we get up to the top, though. We get up to the top of this mountain. We hop out of the car and we go sit on the edge of this mountain to check out the sunset. So we're all just chilling out. It's really pretty. We all enjoy it. And then it starts getting darker. So my stepdad tells us to all hop in the car. And so we get up and we start walking towards the car. I kind of walked behind everybody else because I like the sunset. So I was kind of checking it out. Well, they all kind of get in the car before me. And Mike starts the car. All four of them are in except for me. I start walking over closer and faster. And Mike doesn't realize I'm not in. So he turns the ignition, starts it. And my foot, he doesn't realize this, my foot is like right underneath the tire because I'm trying to unlock the car. But as soon as everybody shuts the door, then the doors automatically lock. And so I'm trying to pull the door open. He starts to go forward. And so I'm like a 12-year-old kid. I'm just trying to get in the car. I'm like, please help. Like, don't leave me here. And so he starts driving forward and I feel a ton of pressure on my toes. I'm like, okay, this is weird. What's going on? And my brother sees my eyes just like bulge out and he's like, stop the car. And so my brother tells my stepdad to stop the car. Well, when he tells my stepdad to stop the car, it's right over my foot. So my stepdad stops the car and this 5,000 pound car is just sitting on my foot, right? I'm freaking out. I'm crying like, and so like my brother unlocks the door. That's where I'm at. And he opens it. He's like, dude, what's going on? What's going on? Are you okay? And I'm just freaking out. And so he looks down at my foot and he just sees that my foot is just engulfed by this tire, right? He's like, oh crap, his foot must be broken. And so he closes the door and tells my stepdad to drive forward. Well, somehow, some way, my stepdad and my mom tells him to go backward, but my brother tells him to go forward. So he goes forward first. And I'm like, okay, now I'm relieved. But then my mom, for some reason, tells me to go backward again. So my foot gets run over again. And I'm freaking out. And I'm just crying like a baby, like, oh my gosh, stop. I just want to get in the car. And so finally my stepdad just like drives off to the side. I'm like holding my foot. And my mom was freaking out and everything. But my brothers definitely do remember that and my whole family. So that's my story. And now we're going to hop over and talk with my good friend Elise and my grandpa.
All right, guys, so I'm here with Elise Winkle. She has some pretty funny vehicular stories for us.
Oh, yes. About a year after I got my license, I had a friend who was an amateur photographer, and she wanted me to be her model, and so I went to this park with her.
Did you get paid?
No. After all of the photographing happened, I went back to my car and I tried reversing, and it wasn't working very well. And so I was like, this is strange. Like, normally when I press on the gas when I'm in reverse, I go back, but I didn't. So after a little maneuvering, I ended up getting out and I started, you know, driving, and I heard this like, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? I've never heard that before. So I pulled over, and my friend who had just taken my pictures was like, Elise, get out here right now. So I was like, oh, frick, what did I do?
Wait, so just to clarify, you're trying to reverse. It wasn't letting you reverse.
Yes. So I pulled over and I got out of the car, and the bumper, like the front bumper of my car, was completely on the ground.
Oh, wait, how did that happen?
So while I was reversing, there was a telephone pole that had a little wire that was like attached to the ground. And so it caught the front bumper and it pulled it off as I was trying to reverse.
Is it one of those ones that, like, goes diagonal in the ground?
Yeah.
And then was it, like, the side of your bumper that got caught on it?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So while you were trying to pull, it was just pulling on one of the sides of the bumper?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. Luckily, my dad was out of town, so he didn't know until the week after when he got home.
How did he not notice that his bumper was gone?
Well,
did you super glue it?
Well, my uncle's good with cars,
so. Oh.
He reattached it.
Oh. Did he tell your dad?
We didn't tell him until he had arrived. And we were like, hey, by the way, this happened over the weekend.
Did you, like, kind of, like, sugarcoat him? Like, hey, Dad, how was your weekend? Oh, yeah, by the way, your bumper's off the car.
Yeah,
so.
Literally.
Oh, I see. Well, well, well. So you're trying to be a model, then next thing.
Then I broke my car.
Wow.
That's what happens when you try to be a model.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast. Super fun to have you, Elise Winkle.
Yes, thank you for having me, Brigham.
Yes. All right, so here with me I have my grandpa, and he's here to share some funny vehicle stories with us.
I was about 16 years old and had a paper route and enjoyed riding my English racer bicycle. And that sounds awful fancy. What it was a 3-speed bicycle that you could change to 1, 2, 3. 1, the low gear, and 3, the high gear. And we put many, many, many miles on our 3-speed English racer bicycles.
Did you, just to make sure, did you put this bike together yourself?
Well, the bike came, well, I think I got it for Christmas one.
Oh, okay.
So it was just a regular bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to be 15 or 16, I used to go with my friends up to the Grand Tetons, and we'd go up camping and hiking and have a bunch of fun up there. And it was annoying to have to pay, I think we had to pay almost just 24 cents a gallon for fuel get up there.
How could you even live with that?
I know. It was a terrible thing because our cars only got about 15 or 16 miles to gallon.
Oh, yeah.
So it cost $3 to get up there and back. So I was looking for a way to have inexpensive transportation. And I went down to a bike shop in Salt Lake City. I think it was on 3rd South in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And there was a kit that I bought to change, to make my 3-speed English racer go. My economic brain of my paper route mind was saying, this thing's great.
For your paper route?
Yeah, this thing's great because I get 80 miles to the gallon.
You don't have to pay anything.
I can go to the Tetons on about 3 gallons.
Oh, that's awesome. So was there like a trail that you take like behind to get to the Tetons, or were you like on the freeway?
This was mentally done. I don't think I ever physically did it.
Oh, okay.
But that was sort of the economic thinking, is that, wow, this would be wonderful to have a piece of equipment that would get me up to the Tetons for about $3.75.
You're like jackpot.
$4. And so I rode that. When I was going to call, I had it for quite a while, and I rode it for all the while I had my first year at the University of Utah. And I'd ride up along 11th Avenue. If you know you know, if you know Salt Lake City, 11th Avenue turns into a really nice, pretty driveway called Wasatch Boulevard, and it goes all the way along the north side of Salt Lake City and then bends and goes down Virginia Street, which ends up at the University of Utah.
Oh, okay.
So I would go all the way to the University of Utah on my
on your screamer.
On the screamer. And come home buzzing home all the way. And I'd usually go back up Virginia Street and back down 11th Avenue.
Did you take anybody on dates on that bad boy?
I don't think it had enough capacity for two people. I hardly had enough capacity
for the moose.
I don't think I ever did that. I had several other bicycles, motorcycles as I grew up, but mm-hmm. this was the first one.
Yeah.
The buzzer.
Dang it. Yeah. Well.
And it met with a strange death.
Is this the story you're going to tell, the strange death?
Yeah, right. This is the strange death story. I'd go all over the place in Salt Lake City on the buzzer,
mm-hmm.
and I'd gone out to, I think, visit a friend who lived up on the east bench of Salt Lake City. And back at that time, there weren't very many freeways, whatever else. So you were mainly on city streets. And I went up along what's called Foothill Boulevard.
Foothill Boulevard, okay.
Foothill Boulevard. And I'd gone up and visited a friend, and I was coming back home. And the good thing about the bike was that it was simple, and it would buzz, and it'd take you right along. But because of the buzzing, guess what?
What?
There was vibration.
Oh, okay.
And vibration sometimes not good on mechanical equipment.
Yeah.
And this thing vibrated so well that the struts that held the front fender on came loose.
Oh, no.
There I was buzzing down Foothill Boulevard. It's a good thing no cars were behind me when this happened, because I would have been dead.
Yeah.
Killed.
Yeah.
Knocked. I would have been.
So the front fender came off. Did it, like, go in the spokes or something?
The thing that held the fender away from the center of the tire came loose and got caught on the tire itself and started wrapping around the tire, and it collapsed the whole rim. So guess what? When you don't have a front tire and you've got some momentum, boom, right onto the road.
Yeah. Did you do a few front flips?
I don't know what I did. It happened too fast, but I was glad there was no car behind me.
Your life flashed before your eyes.
And that was the end of the bzzz bike.
Oh, my gosh.
I kept the motor for quite a while.
Yeah.
I never reinstalled it on another bike.
Well, that must have been pretty scary, because if you would have been just laying on the road and there was cars coming by, that could have been bad.
Back in our day, there weren't that many cars.
Well, that's good, because if it was nowadays Salt Lake, that could have been bad.
That's right. I don't recommend a buzz bike.
Yeah. Well, thanks for talking with us, Grandpa. That was awesome. I like those stories. So, anyway, thank you for being on here.
You're welcome. Thanks for being my grandson.
You're welcome. You've been listening to Aggie Bowl, a part of the Aggie Radio Podcast Network. And remember, stay fresh out there.